Let's take a look at Psalm 63 tonight. Psalm 63. Yes. How many know offhand what song comes from Psalm 63? Anybody? Everybody's searching diligently. It's "Thy loving kindness is better than life." Isn't that neat? It's right from the Psalms, that song that we sing. So we're going to take an opportunity to sing that, not just now, but halfway through the study, to kind of take a song break. So it's going to be a blessing to worship the Lord. Well, let's take a look at Psalm 63 now. And this is a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And what he was doing is running from King Saul. And also later he was in the wilderness of Judah when he was running from his own son Absalom. And so the scholars aren't sure exactly the timing on this psalm. But he was, again, looking to the Lord for help, for he was in trouble of being pursued, and he was in the wilderness area. And as we're going to see here in verse 1, in a dry and thirsty land. And so let's begin reading now here in Psalm 63 and verses 1 and 2. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And if you've ever been to the wilderness of Judah, you would totally agree with David here. There is very sparse areas with water. I mean, they would go to find an oasis, to find a well somewhere. Jericho was like an oasis in this dry and thirsty land down towards the Dead Sea. And even today, when you look over from Mount Nebo, where Moses stood to see the promised land, you can see a green spot in the middle of brown. And it's Jericho. It's still an oasis, still a place where people stop to rest and ride camels and see the walls of Jericho and so forth. But it is a dry and thirsty land in the wilderness of Judea. And it gets like 120 in the summer out there. It's just hot. So you don't want to take a trip to Israel in the summer. If you can possibly skip on that one, skip on that one. You go in the spring or the fall. Or I know Pastor Chuck's taken to going in February, you know, to make sure everything's cool, you know. But it's a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. That's verse 2. Now, we're going to take a little time with verses 1 and 2. There's a lot here. We want to, first of all, go with the idea of seeking God early. It says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. Now, this has really a double meaning, and I think both are correct because it's translated here early. But in another translation, it says, I will seek you earnestly, earnestly. And as we have Proverbs 8:17, and we've looked at this one recently, it says in Proverbs 8:17, I'll just quote it to you, I love them who love me, and those who seek me early shall find me. Those who seek me early will find me. I love those that love me. So it is a display of love to seek the Lord early. Or another translation for early in Proverbs 8:17 is diligently. So we have three words here, early, earnestly, diligently. And so those three words can actually be brought together. And I love to take up the idea, and this is true in most cases, when you have different translations, now not paraphrases like the Living Bible. The Living Bible is a paraphrase of the King James. And so it is not taken from the Greek and the Hebrew. It's not directly translated. It's paraphrased from King James Version. So for the serious-minded Bible student, you really don't want to make your study Bible, the Living Bible. It's not a translation. But as you look at the different translations that are taken straight from the Greek and the Hebrew, and that would be the NIV, the Revised Standard, and the King James Translation, New King James, and Phillips and many others. I have 12 translations in the computer program of the Bible. It's neat because these different translations help you to understand the fullness of what God's saying. It's like reading the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible, my wife loves the Amplified Bible because it gives you several words in a row to enlarge and just kind of refine what's being said there. It's the next best thing to knowing the Greek or the Hebrew, literally, is to have a lot of translations coming in on the same word. And so, so we have these three words to work with: early, earnestly, diligently. And as these things are done, we're displaying our love for God. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early, earnestly, diligently shall find me, from Proverbs 8:17. And hear, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my soul thirsts for you. And wonderful thing. Now, early, the way we can put this together, I think, is this way. When the Bible here says early, we want to work in earnestly and diligently. So, if you wake up at 4 in the morning, that's early. That's early for anybody. And you want to seek the Lord, first of all, earnestly and diligently, to get His ideas, His thoughts, to actually prepare you for the day, and to erase any worries and fears that you have as you wake up. The devil's always there, waiting for you. Now, not the devil himself, because he can only be in one place at one time, but those demons that are sent out from him to harass you, to give you troubles, to war against your soul, want to bring evil thoughts in, worries, fears. But we need to go right to the book. I keep my Bible right here. My pillow's here, and there's my Bible. And sometimes, even in the middle of the night, I've got to go for that. You know, Brother Marvin and Mike have been talking to Pastor Marcel in Haiti, and it just brings back a memory of Haiti. I had an attack in the middle of the night in Haiti that was just fierce. I felt like somebody was sitting on my chest, and I could barely say the name of Jesus. I felt so oppressed. I was about ready to teach the next morning. The pastors from the Haitian villages coming down to Pastor Marcel's church for kind of a pastor's conference. And man, the devil came in like a flood. And I just remember going, what do I do? I was beginning to get panicky about this horrible oppression that was upon me. And I just reached for that Bible. And I got and turned and went to the Gospel of John and just started reading. Just reading. I got my flashlight out, just reading the Gospel of John. And I got one chapter, two chapters, three chapters. I think I got to chapter 5. And this oppression just began to lift, because it's the power of the Word of God. It doesn't matter what the enemy brings. We've got to go for His Word. So I really want to encourage you with that. Encourage you with that. Seek Him early. Early. When's early? Whenever you wake up is early. Okay, if you sleep to 10, and before it's dark, you have every picnic basket in Jellystone Park, you know. I mean, that's an old one from Yogi Bear, right? Well, if you get up at 10, that's early for you, okay? So you seek Him not early time-wise, but you're seeking Him earnestly and diligently at your first waking. You just, first thing, you got to go for the Word. And I've discovered in my own Christian walk, and all things are common to man, if I let it go too long, man, the enemy's in there, and you're busy as a bee, and going strong and getting into this and that, and the phone's ringing, and it's the devil, and then the devil's buddies, and all these things coming down. If you're not fast enough, you got to be quick draw McGraw, fast on the draw with the Word, and get in there early, and seek Him earnestly, with not just, oh, I got to read my scriptures now. Now lay me down, sleep, pray, Lord, my soul to keep. yeah, I'm gone. No, that doesn't get it. It's got to be earnestly. Grab something from the Lord. Take something to chew on, to meditate on. If you will meditate in His Word day and night. The Bible says, in whatever you do, you'll prosper. Yeah. Meditate on His Word day and night. That's from Psalm 1, verse 3, so you can read it. But here we're told that David is seeking the Lord. He's thirsty for the Lord. He's looking out for God to help. He's in trouble in the wilderness. And he's seeking Him early or earnestly or diligently. Now, let's go on. And it says, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now, that's literally true for David because he's in the wilderness of Judea. But in a spiritual sense, there just isn't any water for you in the world. There's a thirstiness in us. And the scripture says that those that hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. When we have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And indeed, nobody satisfies the soul like Jesus, because He's the living water. And so as we do seek in the world for water, that fresh living water that really satisfies the soul, you're not going to find any. You know how God gives examples in nature of the things that He does and the things He wants to say to us? There's a huge example in nature that you and I can take, and it's called a mirage. How many know what a mirage is? You ever been driving on the desert and you'll see Lake Mead out there and you can almost see the speedboats and you get up on it and it's not Lake Mead, it's the desert. Miles and miles and miles of desert. But from the heat waves, somehow it looks like water sometimes. That's a mirage. And you know, that's the way the things of the world are. There's no water in the world. I'm in a dry and thirsty land out there when I'm in the world, walking around in this world, where no water is. And yet we'll see mirages sometimes. Oh, come over and try this. Oh, you've got to buy my Tupperware. It'll change your life. Boy, so many commercials about stuff that's going to change your life, you know. If you get this new car, this special one, you know, that actually has seats that recline, man, is that ever going to be great for you? And we try these things, but they're just a mirage. Whatever it is, it's in the world. All that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And it's all a mirage. And the thirst is still there. It doesn't quench. Nothing quenches. Nothing ever will. Because the thirst that we have is for the living water. And so before we went on tonight in the psalm, I wanted to give you a little study on water. We want to take a water journey in the scriptures and see what the Lord has to say about dry and thirsty lands and how He can quench that dry and thirsty need that all of us have for living water. And so let's first of all look at Luke chapter 1, verse 76. So we go into the New Testament now, and we're going to spend a little time in the New Testament, first in the Gospel of Luke, and then in the Gospel of John, on our water journey. So we go to Luke chapter 1, verse 76. Luke 1:76. Now, this is a prophecy coming forth about John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1. It's a prophetic word about John the Baptist and his ministry. And it says this, and you, child, that's John the Baptist, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of the salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby, and now it's going to talk about Jesus, whereby the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so, talking about Jesus Christ, one of the names for Jesus is dayspring. Oh yes, he's a dayspring. He springs up within him to spring to you living water. And you know, he's a dayspring, but he's also a night spring, and an evening spring, and a dawn spring. He is our spring of life that we go to for real water. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is, there's Jesus. And he's the only place we can have that satisfaction. I know as a young man, I used to just love the ocean. I still love the ocean. But God, through the years, has given me a real balance in that, to let me know that when I'm thirsty for really neat experience of being close to him, it has to be him and him alone, whether I take him to the ocean or to an island or wherever I go, to church, of course. He is the one. He's a person. He's him. And if I'm singing praises to him on my surfboard, then I'm enjoying what I'm doing. But just to go surfing for surfing's sake or outside his will, because he doesn't want me to do it too much nowadays, and he's got his reasons. Of course, I'm busy with the ministry, most of all. If I go because I'm just going because I need to surf kind of thing, and I found that out this summer again, man, it's empty. It doesn't satisfy. Why don't I feel that rush, you know, that I used to kind of thing? And it's just because it's not Jesus. He's the real dayspring. He's the one that has living water. And no green tube will do it. And no ocean that's beautiful and deep will do it. Or any experience that you might like to go to or have or whatever in this world. Without Jesus, it doesn't work. It doesn't satisfy. You're always left wanting. And sometimes if you're getting a little older and you're a surfer, you're left hurting. Sometimes I'll go surfing and then I have to heal for 2 months so I can go again. But I have come to a place, praise God, that I say, Lord, can we go surfing today? No, not today, Mark. Okay, what should I do? The vacuuming? Okay. You know, and sometimes it's not exactly okay. But you know, I do that instead because that's where the Lord wants me. But sometimes you'll say, let's go surfing. And then I know this is going to be good because Jesus is coming with me and he's the dayspring. He's the one that has the living water to bring with us on this little outing. And it's wonderful when that happens, and I thank the Lord for it. Well, let's go on to John 4:14. And this should be a very familiar one for us. This is the woman at the well, and we want to just look at this verse and move on to John 7 after that. So John chapter 4 and verse 14. Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, this is Jesus speaking, talking to the woman at the well, whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Never thirst. Wow, to satisfy that thirst. Lord, I'm thirsty for you, says David, in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. We go walking through this world, and oh, we get thirsty. And oh, we thirst. But Jesus says, the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, a well of water, springing up into everlasting life, and everlasting life beginning now. Beginning now. We move into our new body later, We move into perfection later, so it's a much higher quality of life, but everlasting life begins when you accept Christ as your Savior. And He has come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And as one prophet has said, and I enjoyed this prophecy so much, I think I mentioned it Sunday morning, that in each day, search for the secret joy in each day. Don't let the circumstances rob you of the secret joy in each day. I thought, oh Lord, that's good. And so He's given me a well of water inside me, springing up, more and more springing up into everlasting life. And so as we go, our journey with the Lord becomes sweeter, sweet waters, and better, because it's springing up into everlasting life. It's culminating in everlasting life. There's a springing up like a fresh spring. And so when I'm in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, I look to Jesus. He's that well of water inside me that ministers so deeply to me. Let's go to John 7:37. John chapter 7, verse 37. Now this is a feast, they're feasting in Jerusalem, and in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers, torrents of living water." And so as you're saved, and the spring begins to bubble, and begins to spring up toward everlasting life, all of a sudden, you then will come to that place where rivers or torrents of this living water that's inside you will flow out of his belly or his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And that's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. When the Spirit of God has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses, the scripture says. And what happens there, it's like, and I always like to describe it like with a Coke bottle. Picture a glass Coke bottle, none better than the glass ones. And you fill it up with water, or put it under the spigot, and it fills up with water to the top. And that's having the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit shall be with you and shall be in you. And then the Holy Spirit shall come upon you at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When the Spirit of God has come upon you, epi, it's a different Greek word than in or with. And so that's like turning the spigot on and the Coke bottle begins to bubble over. And everybody around the Coke bottle is getting wet, and the bubbling could be the gift of tongues, you know, coming out, and it's overflowing. And so out of your innermost being, with this well of water, this day spring of Jesus inside you, is springing up, 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 so that then out of your innermost being shall flow torrents or rivers of living water. And that is a mighty blessed thing when that begins to happen. Tonight, I had an experience with that just walking in the prayer room. You know, I was kind of in a hurry and trying to get my stuff done so I could get into the prayer room. So I came in on a huff and a huff and a puff. But the guys and the girls were singing a new song to the Lord. I guess it's a song that God just gave you, right, Kathy? And they were singing and happy and bubbling in the spirit in there with this new song. And boy, I got wet right away with just the fresh blessing of the Spirit of God. You know, you could feel it in the worship tonight, couldn't you? I mean, we're just blessed to just begin singing to God and get this wonderful sense of God's Spirit. Now, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, we need to read verse 39 because this describes to us clearly what that is, spiritually, this living water that he promised to the woman that's springing up inside of us. that's coming and out of our innermost being flowing these rivers of living water. Let's read verse 39 of John 7. But this spoke he of the Spirit. See, this is the Spirit of God, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And so the Spirit of God that he promised to us, this is that water. This is that living water that causes us to never thirst again, because he's always there. Underneath the floorboards of my heart, I can call on him. I can ask him in a moment's time, fill me with the Spirit, and his Spirit will fill me. And yes, as I am looking to minister, overflow me and come out of me. And so this is what David is desiring, is God's touch. God, I'm thirsty for you. I am thirsty for you, Lord. For I am in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, just mirages. And folks, seek living water. Seek that touch of God that only God can give through many different things. And we never want to get caught up in that. Never settle for second best. And second best never works anyway. It just leaves you thirsty again and without satisfaction, deep, full satisfaction. And so that's where we're to go. Now with that, this helps us to understand some Old Testament scriptures. I want to give you two more scriptures on our water journey. And let's go to Isaiah 58, verses 10 and 11. In the Old Testament, Isaiah 58, verse 10. This is a promise that the Lord gave to me personally early in my ministry, and I want to pass on to you about water, about this springing spring wellspring, this day spring that lives inside you in Jesus. It says, if you draw out your soul to the hungry, that is that you're ministry-minded, you want to be a witness for Christ. If you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul when you minister, then shall your light rise in obscurity, and your darkness be as the noonday. Praise God. The Lord shall guide you sometimes. That's not what it says. The Lord shall guide you continually. That can be a real comfort to you, brothers and sisters. It certainly has been for me. When I'm confused and I don't know if I'm going the right way, but I've been crying my guts out to God and saying, Lord, what do I do next? What do I do now? The Lord says to me, I will guide you continually. Believe it. Receive it. I will guide you continually and accept that. Beautiful. And satisfy your soul in drought. That's what David needs. He's in a drought. He's in a dry and thirsty land. I, the Lord, will satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones, make you healthy. And you shall be like a watered garden. And like a spring of water. Yeah. That's true. We just studied that. I'm going to be like a spring of water whose waters fail not. You shall never thirst again. He wasn't kidding about that. Your waters will not fail. They will not fail. And so I know by faith that every time I get up to preach, Jesus is going to say something, because he told me that my waters would not fail, not fail. And I've got this well of water springing up inside me. It's been such a comfort to me in my ministry when I have a doubt about a sermon and I'm pining away over, did I say the right thing? I say too much, I say too little. What did I tell you, Marcus? I told you that your waters will not fail. Just open your mouth and I will fill it. And that's the way we need to go into what God has called us to do. With a confidence, not in ourselves, but in him and his word and his promise. And his promises don't fail, never. And so what a great thing to have and to take. Now, on our last water scripture, let's turn look at Proverbs 11:25. Proverbs 11:25. This is really an exhortation water scripture. It says this in Proverbs 11:25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. In other words, the person that is really giving, is ready to give out and trust God with the giving out of what they're to give out, the liberal soul shall be made fat or very, very healthy. And he that waters shall be watered also himself. Wow. This is a very telling scripture. I get saved. The day spring has come inside my heart. And I've got now this living water that's springing up into eternal life, and on its way out of my belly or my innermost being flows rivers of living water, and my waters will never fail because they're Jesus coming out. And they have nothing really to do with me in my flesh, but with me in my spirit, the Lord Jesus, who is a life-giving spirit and has given me life, and his spirit now is using me. And now this exhortation in all of that. If I water, I will be watered. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. And so I want to be a person that waters. And so I pray about that each day. And as we do ask God to use us, that we're available to water other folks, to water them with the water of life, to one plants, another one waters, but it's God that brings the increase. And as I water others, then I'm going to be watered also myself. It's like St. Francis said from the Gospels, it's in giving that we receive. If you water, you will be watered. Now, if you clam up, as you say, you allow a root of bitterness in your life, and you just tell God, you're going to have to do the rest of your work without me, which he can do, but he wants you to be part of that. And I'm going to just shut up and stand up and move away from you, and I'll remember you when I'm 96, and then go to heaven when you come for me at 106 or whatever. And I'm just going to kind of stop up. You know what happens? The water inside you gets stagnant, and mosquitoes come, and the water gets rancid, and you begin to smell and get stale. And you know, you're just like a stale old cookie. And you're back in that dry and thirsty land where there is no water. But man, when you open the pipes and let the water out, and you begin to water, then the Lord says you'll be watered yourself. And he begins to bring in fresh, living water. And you start to... And the torrents and the gushes come out. And man, you just feel fresh, like a peppermint patty. You're just fresh and vibrant. And then there's life, because the waters are moving. Yeah, let's get the moving water going. And so I want to give you that exhortation. Don't let your water sit there. Don't let that happen. And you know, There's many things we can do or not do, and there's times when we're in place or situation where we can't do much. But you know what? We can do much. You can pray, and you can take time to intercess, to actually stand in the gap for ministries, for people, for God's work and his kingdom here on earth. And you know, it's kind of like that, and I've described it this way before, and I don't know if I heard it or whatever, got it straight from the Lord. I think I might have heard it, but it's like a hose. in summer. You know, you go out and you're real thirsty and you turn on the hose and you put it up to your mouth and it's about 150 degrees as it comes out and it tastes like rubber and you're going, oh, what is this? But you let it flow for a while and what happens? It gets cold or colder and it doesn't taste like rubber anymore, but it's nice water. And so that's the kind of thing. God wants us to get into prayer, and maybe at first it feels rubbery and warm. You know, oh Lord, well, let's see, what should I say today? How you doing? You know, and you're just kind of feeling groggy and spacey, and maybe you give up too soon. But you want to get into a time of prayer. Get earnest with the Lord, get diligent with the Lord, and then all of a sudden, Holy Ghost kicks in every time. Holy Spirit of God, you begin to water, and then you get watered, and there's that fresh flow. So I wanted to give you that exhortation in our water journey. Well, let's go back now to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. And so, O God, thou art my God. Early, earnestly, diligently will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Well, where is the water? To see your power and your glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Yes. You know what church is, brothers and sisters? It's a filling station. You run out of gas during the week and you come in and get filled up here at the filling station. And you get some scriptures, the eternal word of God. And you take in the word and you fellowship with one another and you sing together and you pray together. And you get ministered to and you minister and you get the fresh water a-going. And then you go back to a dry and thirsty land tomorrow morning. And well, you can come back on Friday night and see the movie with us. We're going to watch Amazing Grace. Boy, that's a watering movie. And then church and the different fellowships you might have during the week. You're talking on the phone with a Christian compadre, reading your Bible in the morning, getting up with the Lord early, earnestly, diligently. These are the things that'll keep you going. They come from the sanctuary. And actually the dwelling place, the sanctuary of the Lord, is in each side of us. We are a spiritual building, built up of spiritual stones. And we are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. And so as we allow the living water to be there in communion with the Father, the living water in the spring is springing up, up, up further, going closer to eternal life, which begins now. And so these are the things, the fellowship, the word, the togetherness, the receiving of the word defines the sanctuary, Zion, the dwelling place of God. And it's a place we need to be. You know, I'd like to read quickly with you through Psalm 20 to kind of talk about the sanctuary a little bit. Let's go back to Psalm 20. Where's our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, from his dwelling place where he is, and for where we know him to be in our fellowship and in our communion and in our hearing of the word and in our prayer. It says this, chapter 20, verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob defend you. Send you help. From where? From the sanctuary. He sends you help from the sanctuary and strengthens you out of Zion, which is his dwelling place, Zion. Remember all your offerings, accept your burnt offerings, your burnt sacrifice. He remembers all that you do for him and in him. Grant you according to your own heart, fulfill all your counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. the Lord fulfill all of your petitions. Those are tremendous promises. This is the help that comes from the sanctuary. God hearing your prayers, working with you in your counsel. He will lead us with his counsel and afterward receive us to glory. And this happens in the sanctuary, here at church together as believers, in true good fellowship with counselors on the phone, friends, close friends talking together about Jesus, happening as you read the scriptures and get a word from God. Yeah, or listening to the Christian music and really singing along, not just letting it, you know, sometimes you just go to sleep in your brain when the music's on, but then sometimes a song will grab you. Woo! You get going. I finally got my song, Oh No. Or no, not Oh No. Gone. Gone. Did I tell you that about my favorite song now? Gone. Yesterday is gone. History is gone. Pateshi's Cassish, gone. But the Lord's still with us, kind of thing. Do you know that song? It's on The Fish, and it's by Switchfoot. But you know, Sherry had never heard that song. Did I tell a story here or some other service? I don't know. Anyway, she'd never heard that song. And that song was always gone. And so one morning when I was waiting for her to get in the car so we'd go to church, the Gone song came on. And I'm gone in it, you know. And I just love this thing. I can really get going with it. And anyway, I'm thinking, where's Sherry? You know, should I go get her? No, by the time I get back, the song will be gone. You know? But I hope it's not gone before she gets here. And so she got there, it was just a minute, just a second or two late. She didn't hear the song. And that was like 3 months ago. So we're going, I'm trying to find out who it's by. I didn't know it was Switchfoot. And just going through all these gyrations, and The Fish isn't playing it anymore. I don't know why. Well, maybe it doesn't play it at the times we're listening to this Fish. So finally, last night, was it last night or the night before? Yeah, she shakes her head, yes. So I'm not, yeah, yep. Okay, one of them. I hear my song. She bought it from iTunes. She found it. And she put it in my favorites. So what a time we had singing Gone. Huh? What's my point? I don't know. Where were we in the scriptures? Ah, just a good song to sing. A song that grabs you, you know? And that old favorite song comes on about the Lord, and you're just going crazy with it. And it is... That's true. Yeah, now is that in the song? God is always there. He's... That's my point. Good.
He's not gone, he's always there.
He's always there. He's never gone. Glory to God. That's so good. Okay, I'm spending too much time here. Let's go back now to, we're going to sing in a second here. Good. Let's go to verse 3 of Psalm 63. Now, it says this, and this is where your song comes from, that we sing Thy Loving Kindness. We sing the song all the time. It says in verse 3 of Psalm 63, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. While I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow, that's bone marrow, and fatness or health. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed, and meditate on you in the night watches. I love this. The bed scripture that has always blessed me is that, you know, it's vain to stay up late at night and eat the bread of sorrows. Vain to stay up late at night or rise up early and eat the bread of sorrows. That's the scripture. And so when we're on our bed, in the morning when we wake, or in the night when we go to bed and we want to take all the worries of the world with us and stay up all night and think about them, we need to worship God, read some scripture, meditate on the word of God day and night, and receive some peace from the Lord and go back to sleep. And then the idea of seeking me early that we had earlier in the scriptures. I'm on my bed. It's time to seek the Lord early, diligently, earnestly, right away. Get the other garbage out of the way and start the day with Him. And so, as we look at this scripture, I remember you upon my bed and meditate upon thee in the night watches. Now, in those days, and so we look to the Lord in the night watches, and that's what we're doing tonight. Here we are. We're at church. It's nighttime. You know, the skylight is no longer sending light through. And so it's a night watch, and we're here with the Lord, and you're doing this, and it's a wonderful thing, and it's good for us. Now, with that, we want to go ahead and remember this song, and let's bless the Lord right now with the song. We wanted to sing it through twice tonight. We'll sing it through like we usually do, and then the second time that we sing it through, I particularly want you to drop down to another level in your heart. Just say, Lord, I really, really want to sing this song to you. Now, you should do that the first time, too. But sometimes it just takes a little time to warm up. It's like the old hose. And just get some real worship going and allow God to spring up in your heart. Okay, let's do that. Why don't we stand to do this? Let's stand up. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. I lift my hands up unto thy name. I lift my hands up unto thy name. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. Praise to the Father, praise to the Son, praise to the Spirit, the three in one. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. I lift my hands up unto thy name. I lift my hands up unto thy name. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. Praise to the Father, praise to the Son, praise to the Spirit, the three in one. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. praise you, Lord. Thank you so much, Jesus. You are a blessing, Father. We thank you for David. We thank you for Psalm 63, Lord. We thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. We thank you for these few words more we're going to read now, Lord, before we end tonight. Jesus, you're wonderful. We bless you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Good to sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Well, in verse 8, it says this now. Verse 7, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. We're always in the shadow of his wings. You know, the Lord led the children of Israel by a pillar of cloud by day through the hot, scorching sand of the wilderness. It gets awfully hot out there, sometimes down towards the Dead Sea area, 126. In the shade. It's horrible how hot it gets. But the Lord gave them a pillar of cloud to lead them by day, pillar of fire by night. And I love that idea because the scripture says when the cloud moved, the children of Israel moved. And you know, I can almost picture them just keeping themselves under the shade of that cloud and just to stay out of the sun. But what a blessing that God would give them a cloud cover in that hot burning desert to lead them by day. And you know, we see here the shadow of his wings. Now we've talked a lot about his wings covering us as a mother hen covers her chicks. We did a whole study on that not long ago. But here I'd like to center on the word shadow just for a second here. The shadow, the pillar of cloud. And take a look at another scripture on this. Psalm 121 verse 6. Psalm 121, verse 6. This Psalm 121 is a series of promises from God. And in verse 6, he says, the sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. And you know, that's just meaning the protection that we see displayed with the pillar of cloud and with the shadow of his wings. And what a blessing. Sherry and I were out at the desert house ready to go on one of our canoe trips. We took a canoe trip down the Colorado River with the church. And it was very important that we be there. We had made all the arrangements and so forth, and to be there to meet the body of Christ. And Sherry got an infection in her body. And she got some antibiotic given to her at the emergency hospital at 5 in the morning at Yucca Valley. That the doctor said, do not go out in the sun with this medication because it will give you a rash and allergic reactions. And Sherry has had allergic reactions before to medicine. But God then gave us this scripture. We didn't know what to do. Should I leave Sherry at the desert house and go out to the river and do the canoe trip with the church alone? Should she come and we stick her in the tent and leave her there in to sweat in a hot tent all day or whatever? You know, what do we do? And God gave us this scripture. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. So she went ahead and took her medication. We loaded up into our canoe and went down the river and had a great time. And she never had any negative reaction at all. It was a miracle, but I do love those miracles, don't you? When God touches you and keeps his word and gives you words to believe, there's a promise in the Bible for every single problem you will ever have. There's a scripture for it. Find that scripture, get it in your heart, and stand on it and believe it and go with it. God is good, and he'll show you. He'll show you. If you're doing something crazy, he'll show you. But if he's given you a word, if he's given you a word, you take that word and go with that word. And that's the Lord, isn't it? Praise God. Okay, well, let's go on back now to Psalm 63 and finish it tonight. So we read now here in verse 8, Psalm 63, verse 8, my soul follows hard after you. Your right hand upholds me. And brothers and sisters, this is the right hand of his righteousness. That's an important point. And we won't turn to it, but it's actually Isaiah 41:10. says that he upholds us with the right hand of his righteousness. That means it's not your righteousness. Sometimes we feel guilty. We don't deserve God upholding us with his right hand. We don't deserve that. And so we might shy away from it. But brothers and sisters, like I say, Isaiah 41:10 says it's the right hand of his righteousness. It doesn't depend on my righteousness, it depends on his, and he's really, really righteous. And so I can just open my hands and my heart to him and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and I want to accept the right hand of your righteousness, O God. And then you've got that covering. Underneath us are the everlasting arms. And this is a blessing to believe and to receive. Amen? But those that seek my soul to destroy it, and David here could be talking about Saul or Absalom, shall go into the lower parts of the earth, meaning the wicked, the place of the wicked in the afterlife, hell. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. Foxes would go around eating dead bodies like vultures. And so kind of vivid language here. But the king, and he's referring to himself, King David, shall rejoice in God. Everyone that swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. And so depending upon the Lord and his ability to stop the tongues against the Christian, against the righteous, and that is a beautiful thing. Now, just to end, now tonight I'd like to quote to you 2 Corinthians 1:10, because the first five verses of this psalm have to do with the present. Oh Lord, I'm in a dry and thirsty land. They had to do with the present tense. Verses 6 through 8, those two verses, had to do with the past. Had to do with the past. I remember. Can you see in verse 6? When I remember thee upon my bed, I'm thinking in the past. And then the last verses 9 through 11, have to do with the future. Lord, those that are bothering me now, you're going to take care of that. Oh man, he's going to deal out the duty there. And so we have a past, present, future mentioned in this psalm. And it reminds me of 2 Corinthians 1:10. Why don't we turn to it and so you can see it. You know, it's better to see it through the eye gate. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, something always to remember. And what these psalms really have so much to do with too. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. We'll just go ahead and we'll read verses 8 through 10, and to get verse 10 put down in our hearts with past, present, and future. Apostle Paul, writing to the brothers in Corinth, he says, we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. So some terribly hard times there. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. For what reason? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. And then verse 10, who delivered us, past tense, from so great a death, and does deliver, present tense, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, future tense. This is the deliverance of God, past, present, and future. He has got you totally, 100% bona fide, covered. You are covered. For he delivered us, he does deliver us, and we trust, we must trust, that he will yet deliver us. Praise the name of the Lord. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this psalm, Lord. We do thank you that you do cover the past. You do cover the present and the future for us, Lord. And so, Lord, we're so thankful to you. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to trust you on every turn. Lord, how you deliver us, and we think we'll always trust you after this because we're in the deliverance time, but we always manage to struggle the next time it gets tough. So Lord, help us. Help us to grow. Grow in trust. Grow in faith. Grow in believing you and having that peace, Lord, that passes the understanding of any situation. Help us, Lord. We need your help with this. So we thank you again for David, his tremendous example, the huge insights you gave him, and Father, how we can just lavish in your word. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything tonight, prayer room's open for you. Jimmy's opening it up, and John Luke's probably on his way. So may the Lord bless you. May God just give you a great evening, rest of the week, and forever. May the Lord just bless you good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.